Today we're going to be talking about knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Jesus said, I am the door. John chapter 10 gives us a good look at Jesus as the good shepherd. And Jesus often referred to his people as sheep and to himself as the good shepherd. And this analogy it makes sense on so many levels. For one, we are much like sheep in that we tend to go astray and we tend to wander away. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it makes sense that God would refer to us as sheep because we tend to go astray and we need guidance of the good shepherd. It also makes sense because of the personal respects to the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd. It was a very personal relationship, as Brother Wes mentioned in our Sunday school lesson. The shepherd would speak, the sheep would know his voice, and they follow him. So it makes sense on that level. It also makes sense because sheep and shepherds were such a common thing in the Middle East that people would easily understand and make the connection between the truth that Jesus is trying to teach and what he's using in this analogy. So it just works. And Jesus, the master teacher, understood that people would understand that analogy of the good shepherd and the sheep. And some years ago, some travelers took note of a typical sheepfold, a low wall made of mud and stone. But they were puzzled because the opening for the sheep to enter and exit had no door across it in order to fasten the and keep the fold securely in at night. On being asked why that was, the shepherd replied with some surprise. He said, because I am the door. It doesn't have a door because I am the door. It was his custom to lay down in that gateway, in that opening at night, and only through him could a sheep get in or a sheep get out. No way could a sheep enter or exit the fold without the shepherd knowing about it because he was laying in that gateway and he was the door. And like fashion, Jesus said that he is the door of the sheep and he is heaven's door, as Brother West mentioned as well. We're going to read this together. John chapter 10, look at verse 7. Let's read down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. There are two things I want us to look at today. We're going to do a comparison. Today we're going to look at a contrast between the two shepherds that we find in John chapter 10 in verses 7 through 14. Number one is the hireling shepherd. He mentions here, there's a couple of problems with the hireling shepherd. Number one is that he lacks commitment. When you look at this, the true shepherd is the one who cares for the sheep. He's committed to his sheep. He's committed to his flock, and in this case, the true shepherd could not come until it was God's time. Now, Moses and the prophets were not the thieves and robbers that he mentions here because none of them claimed to be that promised one, that promised shepherd. Like John the Baptist, they were very careful to point everybody to Jesus Christ. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says that John seeing Jesus coming, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John and these others were very careful to point everybody else back to Jesus. But the rabbis, as Brother West mentioned earlier, the rabbis and the religious leaders, on the other hand, were people who were not committed to the fold, not committed to the people of God. They were substituting tradition for truth. They were substituting the imagined oral law for the inspired written law of God. However, the sheep, as it says in verse 8, the sheep did not hear them. God's sheep know his voice. You know, one thing that will help all of us out a lot, because there is a lot of noise today. Brother West mentioned that there are a lot of people preaching a lot of things, a lot of people mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God indwelling us will help us to know what is true and what is false. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, the Bible says, Jesus said, when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. He's not going to lead you into something that's false. So if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you have the Spirit of God guiding you, and you have the Spirit of God illuminating truth in your eyes and in your mind, you will know when you hear the false shepherds. You will know the Master's voice, the true shepherd. You will recognize his voice. And when they heard the true shepherd, they began to recognize the things that made them uneasy about the pretentious teachings of the hypocritical Pharisees. They could hear false teachings and understand that very quickly. And I think the true sheep hear God's voice and they know the shepherd. But the false shepherd, the hireling shepherd, he lacks commitment. He also lacks concern, the Bible says. It says here in our text in verse 13, verse 12, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who the sheep are not his, seeth the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and he flees. And the wolf comes and catches them and scatters the sheep." The hireling flees. Why? Because he's a hireling and he doesn't care for the sheep. Here is a picture of someone who doesn't really care about God's people. He just cares about the things that he can get. The religious leaders of this day were the hireling shepherds. They had no real investment in these sheep and these people. They were only interested in their own power. They were interested in their own position. They were interested in their prosperity. One of the things they didn't like about Jesus is when Jesus would come and teach truth, he was endangering their business propositions. He was endangering their potential for monetary gain. He was endangering the things that they had leaned on for so long to pad their pockets and make their lives good. That's why they were so upset when Jesus came into the temple and began to turn over tables of the money changers. He was upsetting their system of prosperity and gain. They're not concerned about the sheep. They don't care about the poor man. They didn't care about the blind man. These people were outcasts to them. Jesus would contrast himself with these people, these false prophets, as being a loving, concerned, committed shepherd. The hireling shepherd doesn't care for the sheep. But I want you to look at this. We're going to contrast that with the other shepherd in this story, which is Jesus. And he is the heavenly shepherd. The heavenly shepherd. As you look into this text, again, Jesus isn't going to compare himself to other leaders. He's going to teach by contrast. And Jesus said in verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." He's trying to show them the difference between those who were there and him as he comes onto the scene. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Literally, he says, "I am the shepherd, the good," is what he's saying. And it kind of takes us back. I think Brother West mentioned this in his message. Kind of takes us back to some of the Old Testament types of Christ as shepherd in the Old Testament. You see Abel, who was the righteous shepherd. You would see Jacob, who was the resourceful shepherd. You would see Moses, who was the returning shepherd. David, who was the royal shepherd. All of these are partial types of Jesus, who is the real shepherd in the end. They're all going to point back to him. But you notice something about this shepherd. The Holy Spirit is very careful to underline and to remind us of something very important that's going to set Jesus, the good shepherd, apart from every other shepherd. You know what it is? He gives his life for the sheep. You see, the hireling doesn't do that. The person who's paid just to watch the sheep. The person who is hoping to gain from being an overseer of the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. But the Holy Spirit constantly points us back to what separates Jesus from everybody else. One of the things is that he gives his life for the sheep. Verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I want you to notice something today. We're talking about knocking on heaven's door. I want to focus on that phrase where Jesus said, I am the door in verse 9. And I want us to look at three thoughts about that door right there very quickly this morning. Number one is this. Christ is the only door to heaven. Amen. That's a great place for an amen. Listen, Christ is the only door to heaven. He didn't say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. There's only one door into God's fold, and that door is Jesus Christ. It's a pretty simple concept to grasp. Yet people struggle with it today. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. I can't say it any more plainly than that. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's not another way. There's not another church. There's not another fold. There's not another preacher. There's not another Savior. Only Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, said Jesus. I don't understand why it's hard to understand. I don't think that it's hard to understand. I think it's hard for people to accept. Because deep down inside us, we want to believe that there is another way, that there is something I can do, that I can add to this, or maybe we feel some kind of self-gratification or validation if we could do something to add to our salvation. But Jesus said, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other way. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. I don't know why that's so hard. Today, people are trying religion, respectability. We're trying reformation. Well, maybe if I just reform. But all of these are to no avail because Jesus is the only door. Now, I want you to think about that only door for a second and think about its uniqueness in the sense that it is little in its source. I think here's one of the problems with this door that people have. Is that it is little at its source. Look at this verse right here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said there, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Why? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. It's little at its source. And I don't know, people say, well, that's just such narrow-minded thinking. I know that Oprah Winfrey would not agree with me. I know that many religious leaders today would not agree with me. Many of the false shepherds would not agree with the good shepherd when he says, I am the door. But Jesus said, there's a straight gate and there's a narrow way. It's little at its source, a very unique door. But it is large in its scope. He says, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Any man. It's an all-encompassing door. And while it is the only door, it is a door large enough to receive any man, that whosoever will may come. And Jesus is there opening that door to anybody who would come and be saved. But Jesus is the only door. Second thought is that Christ is the open door to the saints. He's the only door of salvation. He's the open door to saints. The thought of an open door gives us a picture of Christ standing with open arms, pierced hands, and a tender voice saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Doesn't an open door seem like an open invitation to you? Kara's grandma and grandpa live on a hill outside of our hometown. And you can't go in and out of town without seeing their home up on the hill. Well, a while back, they both were diagnosed with COVID and placed in a nursing home. And we were driving down. Kara's uncle was in the hospital sick, ended up passing away from COVID. And we were driving into town, and it was really weird because we've been driving in and out of town for all these years, for 30 years. I don't remember ever looking up on the hill and not seeing the garage door open. It's always open. And I told Kara, we went by there two or three times, and the garage door was down, down. I looked over at her, and I said, it's just weird to look up on the hill and see the garage door shut. Now, here in Broken Arrow, you better shut your garage door, okay? They'll cut your catalytic converters off if you don't shut your garage door, all right? They'll pull right up in your church parking lot at 8 a.m. on Monday morning and cut your catalytic converters off your church van. But in Prague, Oklahoma, out on the outskirts of town, you know, you don't always have to shut your garage door. But, you know, it isn't so much about the garage door being up or down, but when I see that garage door open at her grandma and grandpa's house, it's like an open invitation. It's like the door's open. Come on in. You know, you don't ever have to wonder, is it okay to drive up to grandma and grandpa's house because the door's open. And it's like they're up there waiting on you to come and visit. And Jesus is not only the only door, he's the open door. He's standing there. The door is wide open for anybody to come, no matter where you've been or what you've done. He's there with his arms open, his pierced hands, and his tender, sweet voice calling, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Here is your home right here. He's the open door. An open door is like an open invitation. It's welcoming. We don't know how long the door is going to be open, but it's an open today for sure. You say, well, Brother Matt, what's on the inside of that door? Four things on the inside of that door. You might jot these down in the few lines that you have. On the inside of that door, there is pardon. The moment you walk through that door, every sin you've ever committed is immediately washed away. There's pardon for your sin. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth on the inside of that door. You can come under the blood of Jesus Christ. When you go through Jesus, you're coming under the blood of Jesus, which is the only thing that can cleanse sin. Your religion can't cleanse your sin. Your baptism can't. This doesn't cleanse your sin up here. It doesn't wash away sin. I ask people, what does baptism represent? Oh, it's a washing away of my sin. No, it's not. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he shed his blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. His cleansing blood is what moves away your sin. And the moment you walk through the door of Jesus Christ, you come under his cleansing blood and you've been pardoned. A president can pardon you of a crime, but only Jesus can pardon you and forgive you of your sin. That's why we can sing the old song, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, what? Lose all their guilty stains. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. There's pardon on the inside of this open door. There's also protection on the inside of this open door. The shepherd is responsible for the protection of the sheep. He said in verse 9, he said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. That word saved means to be safe. We all love the thought of safety. And there is safety on the inside of the fold of God. You're afforded a certain level of safety you cannot find on the outside looking in. The sheep who was outside the fold was in danger, grave danger. You've got to be on the inside of the fold. And Jesus said, listen, my door's open, my arms are open, and you can come right in. And when you come in, you will be safe. You'll be safe in his arms. That's why we can sing, safe in the arms of Jesus. I love that song too. There is protection there. You say, well, what am I protected from, Brother Raines? Well, you're protected from your past troubles. Have you ever noticed that everyone has a past? Everyone has sins. Everybody has a skeleton or two, or maybe something they don't like to think about or to bring up. I would dare say there are few, if any, exceptions in this room of things that we're not proud of in our lives. We have protection from our past. Our past can be like a dark shadow that follows us around. And it haunts our present living because we're struggling to get over the things. And it's Satan whispering in our ears, you'll never be good enough. Don't you remember what you've done? You may have fooled them, but you haven't fooled me. I know what you are. We have protection from our past. To know that when we enter that door, we have pardon. And listen, God doesn't forgive sins the way that you and I forgive sins. The Bible says that He forgives us and He remembers them no more. He remembers them no more. I'm so thankful for that. Because don't you just love it when you mess up again and someone brings up something you did a long time ago? And they say, don't you remember when you did this too? And you go, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. But apparently you haven't, right? Don't you love it when you get into a discussion with your spouse and they become historical rather than hysterical? Or both? Right? He remembers them no more. Our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. We're protected from our past troubles. We're protected from our present troubles. These are difficult days. These are days of perplexity and deep, deep, deep depression. There are people around you today who seem to have no hope. And I quoted Ravi Zacharias last week, and he talked about the dangers of having no future hope, eating away at the present moments of your life like termites eat away at a foundation. Christ is the open door who offers us refuge. If any man enters in, he shall be safe. He'll have protection from his past. Forget your past. I've already paid for it. I've already washed it away. Only you remember it, Christ says, not me. I don't remember it. He gives us protection in the present troubles. You'll have refuge here because not only are you safe inside of there, but you have a door there that shields you from the storms of life that come all the time. Listen to me. Storms are a part of human life. Amen. Brother West taught us a long time ago that you're either in a storm or coming out of a storm in your life, or guess what? You're headed to a storm. There's another storm coming. They don't stop coming. That's why we need to be safe inside the fold. We need that protection. Listen, I've had storms come in my life, and I know you have too. And this is a part of the fold of God right here, this church. We're safe in the arms of Jesus, and I'm so thankful I have my church family. I'm so thankful that I have other Christians in this fold who care for me and are there to help me. I'm so thankful to know, listen to me, there is bright hope for tomorrow. I know it doesn't seem like it, but there is, because Jesus is still in control and the Lord is still on His throne. There's bright hope for tomorrow. That's why we can sing, "Keep me safe till the storm passes by." The door is there to protect us. There's protection from potential problems. Many people today are struggling because they feel as if there is no hope for the future. With Jesus, there's bright hope for tomorrow. Let me read a verse to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Jesus said this. He said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Listen, we tend to worry about tomorrow. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ever think about future prospects. But Jesus said, there's enough evil today to deal with. You say, but what about tomorrow? Well, let me tell you something about tomorrow. Jesus already knows about tomorrow. The Good Shepherd already knows about your tomorrow. And He's already there. He's already there. That's why we can sing many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know what? Who holds my hand. It's the Good Shepherd. There is pardon inside this door. There's protection inside this door. There's privilege inside this door. He says here in our text in verse 9, He says, "He shall go in and out." There's freedoms and liberties in Jesus Christ. Can I share something with you? that this world cannot seem to get their hands around and their head wrapped around is that Jesus is not a cloak of bondage to the believer. He is freedom to the believer. He's freedom. Listen, people who say, well, I don't want to give my life to Christ because if I do that, he's going to expect me to give this up, give that up, and I'm just going to live my life in bondage. No, actually, once you lose your life for his sake, you shall find your life. You will find freedom. Listen, people who don't understand this don't even realize that they're already in bondage. They're in bondage to their sin. They're in bondage to their past. They're in bondage to their problems. They don't understand that there is freedom and privilege that comes with knowing Jesus. I am free in Christ. I have liberties. I'm not a slave to fear. I'm not a slave to fear. And there's something to be said for that today. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Have y'all noticed anybody today in bondage to fear? Anybody else notice that? Now listen, understand something. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not looking to go today, but I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to get hit by a bus. I don't want to drown. I don't want to be exploded in a gas fire. Glad we got all those gas leaks fixed. That's good. I don't want to die from COVID. I've already had it and gotten over it, but I've lost loved ones to it. I have people in my family right now who have it. I don't want to die to COVID. But if I refuse to live in these moments in Christ Jesus, I might as well already be dead. I might as well already be dead. If I'm not going to live, I think there's an old Western that says, get busy living or get busy dying. Isn't there a quote from a movie somewhere? Anyway, I'm going to get busy living. I'll wear my mask. Not that I think it works. I don't think it works, but I'll wear it if it makes you all feel better. I'm probably going to get COVID again. I'm not going to live my life in fear, though. Amen. And if I die, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if I die, listen to me, if I die and y'all wheel my cart up here and y'all stare at me, well, shame on you, don't do that. There's no way I'm going to get any better looking than this, especially when I'm dead, okay? Don't stand around and stare at me. Burn me up, dump me out in the deer woods, and say, well, he's gone. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to live my life. There's privilege in Christ. I can go in and out. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to be in bondage. You don't have to be in bondage to sin. You don't have to be in bondage to fear. You don't have to be in bondage to this world. You don't have to be in bondage to the politicians of this world. You don't have to be in bondage to the system of this world. You don't have to be in bondage. In Christ, you're free. Inside the door, there's privilege. You can go in and out. And there's liberties in Christ Jesus. There's liberties. Not slavery. Liberty. I've never been more free than I am in Christ. There's provision as well. He said he'll find pasture. The starving sheep on the mountain wild, there are starving sheep on the mountain wild, but the sheep in the fold are the sheep of pasture. Christ is going to take care of his people. He's the good shepherd. That's why David said in that obscure psalm that you mentioned, 23rd Psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, Lord is a shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's provision. God's going to take care of his sheep. When you enter that door, he's not only the open door, the only door, but he's the open door. And there's a lot of benefits to knowing Christ. There's a lot that come with it. The last thought is this. Christ is the overlooked door by sinners. We have to end this because those electric heaters are doing a great job. I'm about to pass out in this black suit. Christ is the overlooked door by the sinners. For a person to be saved, listen to what I'm about to say. He must he must go through that door, the door of Jesus. It's not enough to see the door. It's not enough to touch the door. It's not enough to believe the door exists. It's not even enough to open and look inside the door. You must enter. Now, when you pulled up to this building today, you anticipated that you would be in this service. You would be in this building, in this tropical climate, worshiping the Lord with other sheep in the fold, right? You didn't pull up and look at the door and say, well, I'm in the service today. You didn't walk up and touch the door and say, well, I've touched the door, so I must be here. No, you entered the door, and now you're in. Jesus is the only door. He's the open door, but he's the overlooked door. Listen, everybody in this room, everybody in this world is in one or two places with Christ. They're either in the fold through the door of Jesus Christ, or they're on the outside looking in. And people overlook this door. They say, well, there must be another way. There is not another way. You're either in the fold or you're looking in. And there's coming a day, friend, listen to me, when the Lord is going to shut that door. Think about Noah. The ark had one door, didn't it? We all know that the ark was a type of Christ. Those who went in to the ark were saved from destruction. Those who are in Christ are safe. They went in that door, and the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. And when the door was shut, it was over. I'm going to have our musicians to come. We're going to prepare to close. Now, don't you imagine that when it started to rain and things started to look bad, that there were people who came to that ark? They saw the door. They saw the door when it was open. They saw the door when it was closed. I would imagine that there were people around the ark. I would imagine in my mind, and this is just in my little feeble mind, that when the water started to get a little deep, probably even reached up and touched the ark. Maybe even felt that door. But it didn't do any good to be near the ark, or to be on the ark, or around the ark. It didn't do any good to believe that the ark was there and had a door. It didn't do any good to just see the ark. In order for those people to be saved, they had to go through the door. And in order for us to avoid destruction and condemnation, we must go through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now today, you're either in the door or you're not. You're either in Christ Jesus or you're still in your sin. For those who are in Christ Jesus, guess what? There is therefore now no condemnation for them. Those people who are in Jesus have passed from death to life. They went from the outside to the inside, and now they know pardon. They know peace. They know protection. They know provision. They know what it's like to know the Good Shepherd. And I want to ask you today, like David said, is the Lord, is he your shepherd? I mean, honestly, I don't take for granted the fact that people are sitting in church that they know Jesus as their Savior. Be foolish to think that everybody does. But I want to ask you today, are you trusting in anything besides Jesus? Are you trusting in your baptism, your church membership, some good deed you've done somewhere, sometime? Are you trusting in your ancestry? Well, my great uncle was a Baptist preacher. Are you trusting in those things, or are you trusting in Jesus? If you're not trusting in him today, we're going to have a song of invitation And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up and take that first step down this aisle to the open door of Jesus Christ. His arms are open. His hands are pierced. His voice is calling. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You take that first step. I know it's hard. I know your pride is killing you. You don't want to. But pride to just escort you straight to hell without Jesus. Would you come to him today?